How you doing? Daniel O'Donnell here. On behalf of Dave and Fionnuala and iRadio, I would like to thank you for listening to the Best of the Lift podcast. If you would be ever so kind to give my two good friends 5 stars and a wee positive comment underneath where you listen to your podcast. They say it helps them get more listeners. So, from Daniel O'Donnell, please give the Best of the Lift 5 stars. Thank you.
If you have any dogs or cats or small animals within your vicinity, please make sure that they're secure, that they're okay, because there's a lot of shouting in this. The best doll rouse of all time. What do you make of this list?
Gentlemen, gather round. It's your top 5 doll Aaron Rouse of all time, including all your favourites. Michael Healy-Ray, Pierce Doherty, Roisin Shortall, Leo Varadkar and more. Let's count them down.
Y'all ready for this?
Starting at number 5, it's Deputy McSherry, Control Yourself.
McSherry, control yourself.
Did Deputy McSherry control himself? He did not. At number 4, it's Donegal versus Dublin, the East versus the West, Fine Gael versus Sinn Féin, it's Doherty versus Varadkar.
It doesn't take very long for your balaclava to slip.
And at number 3, let's count these together. It's Roisin Shortall, resume your seat.
Would you please resume your seat?
1.
Deputy, would you please resume your seat?
2.
Deputy, resume your seat.
3.
Would you please resume your seat?
4.
Or I have to suspend the city again. Now please resume your seat.
5.
Deputy, please do
it. 6.
Deputy, please resume.
7.
Okay, we're suspending the city for another 10 minutes. Thank you.
She did not resume her seat. A new entry at number 2, it's the cataract attack.
I was reliably informed through the chair that Deputy Healy-Ray approached people outside the mass to say, I can get you on the bus if you want the cataract. The woman concerned said,
you should take that back. You're a disgrace. You're only in the bottom of the barrel now. Could you open that sort of statement? God damn it, that's an awful thing to say.
And still the reigning champion forevermore of Dáil Éireann Doozies, it's Gogarty Goes Goo-Goo.
I respected your sincerity. I'd ask you respect mine.
Well, all due respect in the most unparliamentary language. F*** you, Deputy Stagg. F*** you. I apologise now for my use of unparliamentary language.
That is most unparliamentary language.
It is most unparliamentary language. I now withdraw it and apologise for it.
That's your top 5 Dáil Éireann Rouse of all time. And remember,
control yourself.
You enjoyed that, did you?
I really did. I shouldn't, but I really did.
Going to send that to people on WhatsApp and watch it fly around just to give people a nostalgia factor. I do love a good row.
The energy, or well, lack of energy of respective, you know, whoever's the Count Corla at different times of different rows. Oh, they're just like a sub teacher who's lost control of the class. They're like, lads, I can't. I can't be dealing with this.
I can't even suspend you because it's your workplace. I can suspend the house for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But you can come back and roar the place down again.
It's Monday. And it's time for the Pundit Game. Dave and Fionnuala. I did say that the setups for the Pundit Game were getting more and more ridiculous. And I think today took the absolute biscuit. What do you call a convicted criminal eagle who happens to be sick?
Is the punchline even going to be better than that setup?
No.
Go on.
Illegal.
How did I not see that one?
Wow.
I was literally doing mental gymnastics being like, where is that joke going to go?
This is quite sad, but I'm giving me a... just because I can.
Look, you know, we're doing the Pundit Game today. I realise things are a bit mad, but the Pundit Game brings a bit of normality and a bit of laughter of a Monday. So I will tell you that back before... with any restrictions on going into bars, man walked into a bar with a roll of tarmac even under his arm. And he said, have a pint please. And one for the road.
Yes, I've heard it before.
I don't care.
I laugh.
Sorry, I couldn't fake the laughter. Once you started to begin the joke, I laughed silently.
Right. Laughing silently is no good to me, Dave. We had this conversation last week, you know? Need the audible laugh.
Okay. I will do what other people do is, and I'll do fake laughs.
Yeah, please. Thanks.
I don't know if I'll even get a genuine laugh out of this, but please concentrate on this following statement I'm about to tell you. Do you hear about the Kerry Tourist Board? Said they're actually going to hire Fungi, the dolphin, out to people's houses to improve people's mental health. Something to do with all the indoor fins.
I did like that one. See, there's a genuine laugh.
Indoor fins.
Dolphin.
Yes, dolphins.
What do you call two monkeys sharing an Amazon account?
Whatever your punchline is, I can't follow that up. What do you call two monkeys sharing an Amazon account?
Prime mates.
Oh,
Come on! Come on!
Yes.
That's good.
That is good. Although Jeff Bezos has enough money. Shop local this Christmas. Don't give him any more. That's my own opinion. Tell you actually about the Debs situation that I was in.
I feel you've been in a few Debs situations, but go on, for the purposes of comedic effect, Debs situation?
When you go to three Debs, you do have a lot of stories from your Debs. It was 2 days before the Debs, and I says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire a limousine for 2 days over the weekend. So the Debs was on Friday, I'd have the limousine Friday and Saturday. And two lads arrived with a lorry, and the limousine was in the back of a lorry. They dropped it in front of the house, and they drove off. What I didn't realise was that it was extra to hire a driver. Imagine, €1,500 for a limo and nothing to show for it.
Yes. That's...
Studio audience, please.
That's really good.
Big question today. You mightn't take it seriously, but I want you to. We're in a pandemic. We're meant to be staying away from people. We're meant to be 2 metres at least at all times. So, option A, no aftershave or no perfume because no one is going to smell it from 2 metres. Or option B, lather it on yourself. Make sure that you can be smelled a mile away. We go to Chloe, 100% wear more. Imagine no one wearing any. The absolute wafts of people would be hitting you otherwise. Less here is not more, people.
I'm on the flip side of this. I'd just be afraid of, you know, being in any sort of, well, you're not meant to be in confined spaces with anyone now, but that overpowering scent, I mean, it's tough to deal with.
Ashes in London, wear it for yourself. Self-care.
Yeah, very important.
Get yourself a bit of Isle Spice. Oh, Jesus. I don't want to knock out places that I'm going into.
You don't want to clear the places. You're not looking to go in for a shopping experience just on your own. That'd be a very effective way of doing it.
Hello, Orla. Lather it on. Can't beat a good smelling man or woman. Yes. Going through the shop, how are you doing? From 2 metres. Can you smell it? It's new, so it is. Oh, it's lovely. You should be able to get it through the mask. You have to put on enough that someone can get it through their mask from 2 metres. That's a lot of aftershave or perfume.
It really is. God, you want to be wafted there. Because the whole thing is, actually, is this too personal to ask you? Where do you dab the perfume or the scent? Like when you're...
On the wrists.
Right.
Okay, so usually my left wrist, then I rub my wrists together.
Yeah.
And I go up around the neck.
Right.
And then just when I'm going out the door, that'll be the morning time, I'll give another two just on the chest there, the hairy chest, so I can smell it myself, and then I go about my business.
This is like, what's the word? Routine is all that's coming to mind, but it's really a thing for you. I didn't know this about you.
How sure I wouldn't have got a woman otherwise if I wasn't lathering on Paco Rabanne 1 million. How do you think I'm in a relationship today? It's not looks, it's not personality, it's Paco Rabanne 1 million.
Niamh, can you confirm or deny this at any stage?
I wanted to have a chat with a gentleman that I met at Kings and Queens in January. It feels like a long, long time ago. I'm sure he'll be able to have some harsh words about this debate.
Dave, I couldn't agree more. You ran out of million, you're going to have to buy a bottle. We all know that's the best possible aftershave on the market to date.
Yeah.
You run out, you need to buy another bottle. Lather it on, my friend. Go for it. That's Brian in Portlaoise.
Brian in Portlaoise, thank you very much. By the way, this is not a paid endorsement for Paco Brand 1 million. There are other aftershaves available on the market. A gentleman who I know is good for a discussion is Dylan. He was one of the kings at Macron Affirmer Kings and Queens event that happened in January. What do you make of this whole situation?
Well, sure, look, now who's going to be getting near you, Dave, to see you getting all screwed up or anything like, really, into that?
But come on now, what if I'm in the shop and I'm walking by someone and it's only like for a millisecond? Should I not be lathered in Paco Rabanne 1 million?
Shit, back to hell from the way. Social distancing, Dave, they're not going to be near you anyway.
Aye, but you might come across someone in the shop or something.
No, Dave, you wouldn't. You cannot. Social distancing, you shouldn't be going near them.
I know that, but what? Okay, so what about from 2 metres away from someone? Still no aftershave on.
Well, now, unless I've got a sniffer, dogging you, Dave, now you're not going to be smelled at all, really, in Tula.
Dylan, I'm going to interject here and ask, would you be one for the cologne on a day-to-day basis? Do you save it for special occasions, or is it away from your life altogether?
I wouldn't have time now for aftershave, really, with the work I'm at now, so it's just...
A man that's too busy for aftershave, that sounds chronic altogether.
What are you at? How are you too busy for aftershave?
Well, by the time you get up in the morning and go to work and come home and go farmers, or who are you impressing, the sheep or the cattle? Like, what are you going to do?
I should be very impressed, you know, farming, tough enough job as it is, and then trying to balance another job with it, Dylan. I'm in awe of your time management skills.
Oh no, it's not easy for anyone, I know, really, and truly.
Dylan, you're going to spin us sad stories now, and you're insulted.
I'm not going to spin you in, Dave. Now, you've seen what it was like in Sligo yourself now a few months back now, and that seems like a year ago now, really.
It does, and hopefully we'll get back to that again soon. We'll all be wearing Paco Rabanne once that comes around again.
Oh yeah, as soon as possible, hopefully.
Hi, but good to talk to you. Thank you very much, Dylan Murney. Always good for one of the kings from Kings and Queens, Macro to Farm event in January. He's able to tell the harsh truths. He's not going to butter it up.
I mean, he should put that on his any form of social media bio. Too busy for aftershave. Because that is... It's a terrible state to be in.
If he was in the market, Tinder bio.
Yeah.
A man too busy for aftershave, but not busy enough to look after you. We are still talking about food, because there's comfort in food, and what more place comforting than the humble and brilliant deli counter.
Well, what do you go for at a deli? Could you share with us that personal information?
Breakfast roll.
Right.
Not everything on it. White pudding, sausages, rasher, butter, no tomato ketchup, please. No tomato ketchup. Hold the tomato ketchup on the breakfast roll. And I say it 3 times because I've said it 2 times before and it still ended up on the roll. No ketchup on the breakfast roll, please. Chicken fillet roll, butter, taco sauce, cheese and toasted, please. Can I get it toasted? Is it okay if you toast it, please?
You see, I'm the opposite because they'd be asking me, do I want to toast it? And I'm like, no, because I always get coleslaw on mine. So I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. I'll just take the wrap. Because research, very important research. We're all about the research today. From Circle K, more than a fifth of people in Ireland picking the chicken fillet roll as their favourite deli food. We're not getting into the whole thing of is it hot chicken roll or chicken fillet roll. It's hot chicken roll. But the Circle K research also shows at least a quarter of people would travel up to 5 kilometres for their favourite deli, and a further 19% would travel more than 5 kilometres for their favourite deli.
Doesn't surprise me.
No.
One bit.
It's solid food, like.
The best chicken fillet roll I've ever had is the petrol station in Grange in County Sligo. My God, it's amazing. And I have travelled over 25 minutes for a chicken fillet roll. I can't tell you how many kilometres, but I've travelled for specific chicken fillet rolls.
So this is the perfect excuse to talk about deli decorum. Okay, because I remember this arising on the show before, where we had people getting in touch who had worked or continue to work in delis, mm-hmm. and they had some requests, and they were very pleasant and basic requests, generally down to, you know, basic manners.
Yes.
at the deli counter when you're placing your order, like, don't be on the phone to someone else and just casually throwing your order over to them. Don't be in any way rude.
Don't grunt.
Oh, please don't.
Say please, say thank you. I don't think anyone even requested that, but we are requesting it if you're at a deli counter. Do you want cheese? please no grunting. Have your please and thank yous. The deli counters are, well, basically they're the closest to God for a lot of people if they're able to serve you up a chicken fillet roll. So be nice to God. Our unintended top story today, deli counter decorum. Anything to distract our mind from the more serious news. Now, there are people attacking each other. There are the customers attacking the deli gods. Not on for that.
No, because, you know, you just can't be at that. I should remind you as well that the whole reason this all started is because more than a fifth of people in Ireland, according to a Circle K survey, have picked the chicken fillet roll as their favourite deli food. That's how this all started.
Shona is annoyed with people coming in when it's approaching closing time in the deli and all the salad stuff is covered and then the person wants them all. They not just want one salad. They're like, every single thing that's wrapped in clean film, I want it. Let's speak to Caelan. Caelan, where are you from?
I'm from Ballyshannon in Donegal.
I know it well. And Caelan, can you tell us tales of woe about being a deli counter god?
Yeah, once I was working in a deli and this woman came up and she handed me her phone and her friend was on the phone and I had to like hold the phone between my shoulder and my head because I was making the roll and trying to take this woman's order.
And Caelan, was this pre-pandemic or has it been in the last few months?
It was pre-pandemic.
That's
yeah.
good. Unhygienic at the best of times, but certainly even yeah. more unhygienic in a pandemic.
Yeah, it was difficult enough to try and make a roll with a phone.
I mean, you know, yeah, getting the hands busy and trying to get everything sorted and keep on top of everything and not drop the yeah. phone into the cheese or whatever it was. Caelan, what are your thoughts on multiple orders? Do you want the person to tell you everything they want at the start or space it out?
It really depends. If it's a few rolls, I can't be dealing with, like, you telling me I want coleslaw and peppers and onions. But if you're ordering, like, wedges and chicken goujons, like, I'd accept that. But it's hard to keep track of a lot of ingredients and sandwiches at once.
Is it kind of judges on the day? Say if I want yeah. a roll and then I want a portion of wedges afterwards. Do I hold out or do I tell you I want a roll and I need to get something else afterwards?
I'd be okay with the two of those at once.
Okay.
But the worst thing as well is when people tell you their order and then leave and you're not sure what they want. They're going to make a coffee or something. Drives me mad.
It's stressful. It's very stressful.
Caelan,
it is stressful.
This has been most helpful and I hope you appreciate how much information you've spread out today.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm commuting to university, so I'm on the way home. So I'm listening to the radio for a good 2 hours now.
You're getting into this. I like it. You're passionate about your work.
I mean, I don't even work there anymore. I worked at Dalia about a year ago, but you know, the passion never left.
Hey, it doesn't matter. Once a deli god, always a deli god.
Thank you so much. I'm glad someone appreciates it.
Caelan, take care and safe home.
Thank you. Bye.
Do you remember Mark and Kildare caused absolutely terrible scenes on the Punta game 2 weeks ago with his milk joke?
Wait, not necessarily Mark's fault. I just didn't get it. And no matter how many times it was told and how many different ways it was told, I just didn't know what was going on. And that's my issue.
Melanie would like to update it for us today.
Okay.
That it makes more sense. I know neither of us are going to get a laugh out of this, but you might if you didn't hear the terrible milk joke from Mark. Okay, here we go for the 15th time. What's the fastest liquid in the world? Milk. It's pasteurized before you can even see it.
Oh, there. Okay.
Thankfully,
thank you.
I nearly cursed there. I was going to say, we've eliminated the milk joke. We've got it done correct. And now we can all move on with our lives.
Thank you. It was Melanie, was it?
Melanie, thank you.
Thank you for clarifying. And Mark, I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
Well, it's all in the delivery.
Mark
isn't it?
Knew what he was at. Because he was meshed in the next week as well. Oh, here's another milk joke for you. Mark, you're banned from the Punta game for 1 week and you're allowed back next Monday.
Yeah, we welcome all your contributions.
Except Mark's.
No, we would
for this
like
week.
Mark.
He's allowed back next week.
Did you hear the joke about the roof, Dave?
No, I didn't hear the joke about the roof.
Ah, oh, never mind. It'll go over your head anyway.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's the only way I'm reacting to your jokes now. Is
no laughter yes. whatsoever.
How do you tell what sex an ant is?
Go on. No, I don't know.
Drop it in water. If it sinks, it's a girl ant. If it floats, then it's a boy ant. Oh, wow. I am nailing it. Yes.
It's all in the delivery. Yes. I love these.
Vanilla, I think you might be still feeling the effects of Friday night.
No,
Finding these a little too funny, if
they're really good.
Okay.
No, the chauffeur one, I mean, that absolutely got me. That really did. We have a text train. The doctor told me, I think you have Backstreet Boys syndrome. I said, tell me why. I do like that one.
If you liked my other jokes today, this one definitely should get you. We'll finish on this. You know my birthday is in March.
I do.
I must admit, and I haven't admitted it until now, I was very disappointed in the way it turned out. So my so-called friends came to my house. They came in and they robbed the cake, they robbed the ice cream, they even took my tiramisu and they left. It seems they deserted me.
Oh, ending on such a high.
I'm taking a bow. Lonely Planet's ultimate travel list. Now, they understand the situation, that we're not hopping on planes and going round the world. They even know about the local travel restrictions in Ireland. But, however, they want us to be dreamers and believers that we can travel someday across the globe without worrying about masks and social distancing. There are a good few places on the island of Ireland. The Wild Atlantic Way, the top new entrant in the book at number 21. That's a massive endorsement. This book is read all across the world, so when things do open up, people will be like, we will go and see the Wild Atlantic Way in Ireland, amongst others.
You've also got Connemara is in there, it's mentioned. Sliabh League is a new entry as well. Absolutely beautiful location. And a number of more, you know, you've got the Giant's Causeway, Ring of Kerry, a load of different places that are in there. So what we did, so we decided to have a little chat with Tom Hall. He's a writer at Lonely Planet. And first of all, Tom, very interested to know how you managed to mention the Wild Atlantic Way in the entry without mentioning the slightly wild Irish weather. How do you dance around that one?
Well, when it comes to weather in Ireland, I think it's a case of understanding that visitors don't come thinking they're going to be sitting on a beach and getting a suntan. You know, the Wild Atlantic Way is a fantastic example. People come for the ultimate road trip. And that means if they need to, they can retreat to a sea salt sprayed car. Though we do say that most of the time you won't want to be doing that. You want to be out hiking. You might be like surfing, you know, spotting puffins and dolphins and sort of gazing up at the stars. So the weather is an issue, but it needn't hold you back.
How do you decide which locations? What's the criteria for getting on the Lonely Planet Ultimate Travel List?
So Lonely Planet's Ultimate Travel List is essentially a massive poll from all of the experts who create Lonely Planet's books and websites and mobile content. So over 500 staff writers and our international partners got together to vote in this year's campaign, along with our Pathfinders Travel Blogger program. Those people took pretty much everywhere that we include in our guides all over the world. And they got 20 votes. Which 20 do you think are the best? Between them, that allowed us to come up with a short list. And that really is this 500 that you see in front of you, as well as being cross-referenced against some sustainable travel recommendations that exist to make sure that we're being up to speed with people's expectations when it comes to doing the right thing when they travel.
I'm going to say this, I'm kind of speaking about myself, but I'm just wondering, have you experienced it as a common theme that we don't necessarily explore what's right on our doorstep? That if there's a tourist destination within 5 miles, we're like, sure, why am I going there for? It's so close, I can go anytime, but then you don't end up going at all. Will that be a common theme?
I think it's a very common theme. We've actually all got a little glib, and I think this has been going on pretty much since widespread ownership of motor cars became a thing, so quite a long time ago, really. But, you know, it's very striking to me that if you are travelling on foot or on bicycle, you will see things differently than if you're in a car. Now, yes, there you go. The weather is a little bit of a question there, but there's no reason why you can't say, okay, we're just going to draw a circle around our house, and maybe that's actually quite a small area, and we're just going to explore little bits of it there. There's a bit of reprogramming, I think, that needs to go on in order for us to feel that we're still on holiday when we're doing that. And also the point of it is, with your nearest and your dearest, trying to do something which maybe takes your mind off the current situation, which can be a little bit lousy, but getting out and seeing something that's beautiful and getting into fresh air, and there is a huge amount around to do in that way.
I'm going to throw you a curveball here, Tom. What will the future travel be like? Do you think it has changed forever, or do you think we will get back into our own ways of jet setting across the world when a vaccine comes, when things settle down?
Well, options for travel globally are clearly limited right now, today. This list is aimed at inspiring for 2021 and beyond, when travel starts recovering. We hope that people will take advantage of exploring some of the fantastic places closer to home, like the ones that we recommend. I would say, I think that we might be seeing green shoots of recovery faster than we can tell today when it comes to travel. If you look around the world, you can see things like the establishment of the air bridges between New Zealand and Australia, the potential for changes to quarantine systems in various countries around the world, and plenty of nations, particularly those that are very reliant on tourism, doing things like partnering with airlines on pre-flight testing and indeed testing on arrival, to try to open things up a little bit. And especially if you look at places like the Caribbean, they're trying to do that in time for this winter. So whereas today it can seem like we're a long way off, we might actually be in a very different position in quite a short period of time.
We'll just have to wait and see. Tom Hawley's a writer for Lonely Planet. They have released their ultimate travel list today. They're kind of looking more at 2021. I think we all are, hoping for better things. Wild Atlantic Way, the newest, highest entry in the book, number 21. You also have Titanic Belfast in there, Trinity College, Sleeve League in Donegal. Arguably more impressive cliffs than the Cliffs of Moher, and you don't get charged ridiculously for parking your car there. So, a good book overall.
Dave whips out a little wooden spoon every so often, and he just stirs.
You can't.
He carries around, which is in the back pocket.
You can't be charging.
Miniature wooden
spoon. To go to the Cliffs of Moher.
Stir around.
It's too much per head. Clare County Council running about with their golden chains, charged in to the Cliffs of Moher. You can't be at it, lads. Can't be at it.
Recognise that? If you were really adventurous with your ringtones, you might know this. And if you recognise neither of those, you're probably too young to have ever owned a Nokia 3310. But in 20 short years, we've gone from the humble brick phone to everything we could ever need in our pocket.
Well, if you think about your smartphone now, what it does is far more than just phone calls and text messages. It's replaced a lot of things in our lives. I mean, how many times now do you wear a watch? How many days would you wear a watch?
Oh, I should mention this is
Ciara O'Brien, and I'm the business and technology journalist with the Irish Times.
Sorry for interrupting. Why has phone usage skyrocketed?
When was the last time you bought a handheld games console? I mean, do people actually buy separate GPS units for their car anymore, or do they just use their phones? You're talking about e-readers, relaxation, music players, video players. It's your social life. It's your financial life as well, because your banking apps are on there. Your wallet is on there. It looks after your health. So because phones have replaced so many things, it's only natural that we're going to spend an awful lot more time on them.
Phones are very practical. So are cars and wash machines. Why are phones different for addiction?
We have to kind of separate out the smartphone itself from the apps that are on it. Because if your phone did nothing more than the odd call or text message, it's actually the apps themselves that make the phone addictive.
The apps. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram.
Social media is a drug.
That's Anna Lemke. She is the medical director of addiction medicine at Stanford University.
I mean, we have a basic biological imperative to connect with other people that directly affects the release of dopamine in the reward pathway. Millions of years of evolution are behind that system to get us to come together and live in communities, to find mates, to propagate our species. So there's no doubt that a vehicle like social media, which optimizes this connection between people, is going to have the potential for addiction.
Let's say you and me are fully aware of this fact. We are spending too much time on social media. How do we still get sucked back into another numbing scrolling session?
How many times have you been sitting there without your phone and you'll hear your phone buzz in your bag, or you'll feel it buzz in your pocket? And you want to check it. And when you know, it might be a message from somebody important. And when you do check it, it's likely just to be a notification that, say, somebody has posted a new video on Instagram, or somebody has updated their story on Facebook, or, you know, perhaps there's a new feature on an app. And it's these notifications. That's one of the tools that they use to keep drawing you back in, because, you know, it's like, hey, look, something good is happening and you are missing out. And again, we come back to that nomophobia thing. There's the total FOMO, that fear of missing out, that keeps people coming back to their phones.
Please come back for more.
That's the sneaky thing about all these apps, is that they are designed to keep your eyes there. So Tim Cook, the chief executive of Apple, the company that basically that makes the iPhone, said he turned off notifications on his phone because, as far as he's concerned, they don't want you looking at your phone all the time. And notifications is one of those tools that app developers use to kind of keep drawing you back.
They're modern day pushers.
But why? Why does TikTok want me scrolling? Why does Facebook keep sending me notifications?
It all comes down to money, really, doesn't it? Because if you are spending a lot of time on Facebook, you will interact more with the platform. You will see their ads. You might click on an ad or two. How many people have bought things on Instagram? I have. I definitely have bought things on Instagram. I nearly always regret it when it's from an ad. But the more time I spend on Instagram and the more recommendations I see from people, you know, the more likely I am to buy something. It's all about money. It's about getting those figures up so that you can go to an advertiser and say, well, look, these are the amount of people that we have looking at this. These are the amount of users that we have. These are the amount of people who are using our product on a daily basis. Isn't it a great idea to advertise with us?
In a simplistic summary, we are pinged with notifications not to help us, but in order to be drawn back onto social media. This, in turn, means we spend more time on the platforms. This is attractive to advertisers who want to reach us. Companies throw money at the social media. The social media puts the ad in front of us. More time spent on said social media, more ads we see, more likely to buy. Let's end with Sean Parker, ex-president of Facebook.
The thought process that went into building these applications, Facebook being the first of them, was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible. And that means that we need to sort of give you a little dopamine hit every once in a while because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post or whatever. And that's gonna get you to contribute more content. It's a social validation feedback loop because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology.
One thing you can do today, turn off push notifications.
The Lift. With Tesco. Weekdays from 3 on iRadio.